TOS. You've been over to my house. My HF beam has polycord on it, and my 2-meter beam has polycord on it. And the only reason it's got it on it, on the 2-meter, is to keep it from sagging. Mine's 17 element. I don't know how long that is. I should have measured it while I had it on the ground today. But I don't know how long the beam is, but it's longer than the 13 B2s or the 11 elements. Mine's got a little piece of aluminum angle that goes up, comes off the mounting bracket and goes up, and it's got two eye bolts in it, one facing one way and one facing the other way, and tied the polycord to it, and got it adjusted. The HF beams has got the same setup, front to back, to keep the boom from sagging. It also has the polycord in a diamond shape, going from the reflector up to the driven element and towards the director, and then the same thing on the other side. So he's got a diamond in there, and it doesn't matter if it gets wet or ice and snow on it or whatever. But ice is going to bother it a little bit, but the rain doesn't affect it at all.
Just to be sure. So, my next question refers to the same antenna, and that is gain. So, I am assuming that I can measure. How do I word this? So, if I take a store bought 2-meter antenna, a diamond, whatever, a vertical, and I write down, how do I measure gain? Is there a device that will tell me what, when I get this built, what the gain is on it, or how do I figure that? I'm assuming I can use my radio somehow to do that by looking at my S meter, but I'm not really sure how to do that, because if I use the radio, then I'm going to need something to compare it to. In other words, if I have a store bought, I can say, well, I can receive a set, the repeater frequency is this on my S meter. But when I build this new antenna, if it's 2 or 3 units higher, then I know I've gained some gain there. But how do I figure that? Is there a way of figuring that you know of?
Formula to figure that out, Chad? I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but I've got a field strength meter, and you can go out and say you got a vertical and a beam, and you can key your transmitter, and it'll read so much signal coming out, and then you can key the beam, and it'll tell you how much more it's got. Gain of the antenna is really not talking about receive. It's actually talking about transmit power out. It increases that, so to speak, but it does have to do with receive as well. But most people talk about, well, I put this up and it's got 9 dB gain. Well, it does have 9 dB gain because it's longer antenna, and it transmits more power out and this sort of thing. So, but I've got a field strength meter here at the house if you want to use it.
I've started on some of my measurements, and, you know, just some rough, you know, hand drawings to, you know, how I'm gonna do this. And I just was looking at it, and I was thinking, okay, well, if I can find a way to, you know, determine the gain, to see if I can figure out some way to listen and transmit better. And I'm doing this for the deer camp because it's really bad spot there on some of the frequencies. I built a Slim Jim and it's working, but I put a store bought antenna up first and I could not get into the Oconee net and the Anderson net. I could not do it. So I put the Slim Jim up, and when I put the Slim Jim up, I gained Anderson and the Oconee, but I lost K9OH and Spartanburg. And, you know, I want them all. I don't want to have to trade off if I can. I mean, if that's what I need to do, then I'll do what I have to do. But, you know, I'm trying to find a way to increase everything as far as I can, the best I can. And I'm thinking this is the way to go. I mean, I don't have enough experience as it to know if this is the best antenna or not, but I know the one I got is working wonderful, so I'm just going to mirror it. I don't know. What do you think about that, Gary?
What they say, location, location, location. I don't know what to tell you about that. You know, there's different antennas that will work better in different locations. But there again, you just have to experiment a little bit and see what it does and how it works and that sort of thing. While you were calling the net tonight, I was just out of giggles. I turned on the another 2 meter over here and put it on reverse and just to see how many people that I could hear on reverse. Had a total of 17. Over in Campobello, and then I had Inman and Lyman and Greer. Then I had Slapdown, Anderson, Simpsonville. but my antenna's up high, you know, so I'm in a pretty decent location unless Parris Mountain gets in the way. But I can't really answer that question, Chad, other than just try around with different antennas and see which one works the best for you. And, you know, you can put up more than one. If you got one up, it'll pick up these two people, and you put another one up, and it'll pick up two or three other people, but it won't pick up the first two. Then you put you an antenna switch in there and run two antennas into the transceiver.
KI4LZ. One thing we got to keep in mind about the K9OH on Caesarhead, it's operating right now. Not at peak efficiency right now. The receive antenna on that machine up there on the K9OH is way down on the tire right now. When it's like it should be, I should get into it with a rubber duck for my location. I can't right now. He's got his receive antenna. I believe he said it's about a 120-foot tower up there that he and the trucking company has. He's running split antennas. The transmit antenna's on top, and the receive antenna for the K9OH is down about 60-foot level up there on 24/7 on Caesar's head right now, so it's not all your fault about the 4/7 machine. KI4LZI is kind of operating a little on the sick side on receive.
Chad and Jerry and Andy and the group, F4DJC. Chad, I was wondering, have you tried something like a Ringo or anything like that, or are you just trying just regular vertical antenna, or are you going in some other direction?
The only thing I've tried is the store-bought, I think it's a diamond, nothing special, you know, it's the 5 foot whatever vertical. And I built the Slim Jim out of copper pipe, and I don't know, I'd say it's up probably maybe 60 feet. But where the cabin is, it's in a low spot, and it's just bothering me. I mean, it's just, I can't explain it. It's just really bothering me because I can't get, I'm having to trade off, and I don't want to have to do that. I should be able to build something. I mean, I got a whole machine shop down here full of tools that do anything to a piece of metal you can won't possibly do to it. And I'm looking at this 2 meter beam I got up on the house and thinking, well, that can't be that hard to build. But I just like I said, it's just bothering me, Jerry. And the only thing I've tried is a Slim Jim and a Diamond X30, nothing special on them. I'm just hoping, a beam will help me out, or maybe I could do something different. I don't know. You got any thoughts on it?
Probably tried the Diamond X30. That pretty well rules out a Ringo Ranger. That's Ringo Ranger is typical what I've used over the years, but you know, my location is not very good either. But if you're up in here where you got such a block in one of the nodes or some of the repeaters, that's probably got a lot to do with it. And nothing beats a beam. I mean, if you can get build you up 7 to 11, actually 11 is about the, if you're gonna build one, I think 11, I think you're probably agree with it. I think 11 is probably the way to go. I wouldn't go any lower than that. The reason I say that is if you got stuff to do with, build the biggest one you can get up there, as long as you can, as long as you got something to turn it with. But it may be just in a situation where you got something blocking somewhere or another, because an omnidirectional antenna like a vertical, you know, that's high enough. You ought to be able to pick up a lot of repeaters. For instance, I can, from inside my house, I can hit Mount Mitchell from here, and I'm in Andrew, and I'm only about 700 feet above sea level. I'm maybe 40 feet above the lake here. I can hit Mount Mitchell pretty easy with it takes about 60 watts to get into it on a regular basis with a Ringo sitting in my upstairs bedroom. That's not even outside. Right now I'm running a 5-element log periodic, and it's inside the bedroom too, but I've got it pointed at the repeater, and I'm only running about 10 watts right now. It's not probably as good as other people, other signals. But it works pretty good. It gives me about S9 on the receive. But I definitely would just look into building a beam. That'd be the next step, because otherwise, unless you put up like a big collinear or something like that, the very best 2 meter antennas I've ever used will either beams or those collinears. And a collinear will probably run about 22 feet long. But it's a vertical, basically.
So, Jerry, like I said, I got out that machine shop down there, and I'm not used to things dictating to me limitations, because I can always, if I can bend this or I can cut that, and if I do this or shift this piece of metal around here, it's going to do what I want it to do. But this hobby, I'm telling you, it's just, it drives me crazy sometimes because I can't see it, I can't smell it, I can't touch it, and it just seems like it works when it wants to. And I just, you know, I'm not used to that, and I'm having to deal with that a little bit. it's very frustrating for me, but I'm just constantly on the quest to figure out a better way. And like I said, I'm gonna try that next. I got my pipe, and this book's got some drawings in it, and I just got to figure out how I'm gonna lay it out and all that. I just, you know, it's just frustrating. But I'm accepting that, you know, I got to do what I got to do, I guess. But I appreciate you letting me know. So I'll look into it. The book has got different drawings. Let me. My radio's gonna time out. Got different drawings for different lengths, I'm like you. If the bigger, the better, I guess. But I'm gonna give it a shot and see how it goes. I got a plan, and I got most of my supplies. I still gotta get a couple of things, but other than that, you know, I'll let you know how it goes, though. But I'm gonna give it a shot, you know, see how it goes.
W4 DJW. So, Chad, if I understand the question correctly, you're wanting to know how to measure. I mean, you're wanting better performance in the end. That's self-evident. But you want to be able to measure if you really made a difference, and if the difference that you made was an increase in performance or a decrease in performance. You want visual feedback that you were correct or that you were incorrect. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes, sir.
Okay, to get that feedback, you can do it. It's not too difficult, but you do have to set up a little bit of an environment to be able to do that. And the way that you do that is you have to have a reference point, because gain is gain over something, all right? It's an increase in something, so you have to have a starting point. So the first thing you have to do is just build a simple 2-meter dipole or whatever frequency you're going to be transmitting on. Build a dipole, hang it vertically, and then you need to be able to control how much RF energy you put into that dipole, more than just some radio laying around, right? You need an instrument that can put a calculated quantity, and very small, a trickle, of RF energy into that 2-meter dipole. And then you need to put a receiver a specific distance away from that 2-meter dipole. And you need to put that energy into that 2-meter dipole, and you need to go to the S-meter of the other radio and measure. You know, you might be putting 13 microvolts of RF energy into it, and it might be reading an S2 because you're so close together, right? And then you take down your reference antenna, and you put up your nice new shiny copper antenna, and you put the same amount of RF energy into it. And you're either going to get more than 2S units, or you're going to get less than 2S units. That's your effective radiated power versus your RF energy that you're putting into the antenna. So you can measure it. So you can do exactly what you want to, and that is measure if I made a difference, and was it for the better or was it for worse? And it's not that difficult. Does that help answer the question?
Oh, absolutely. Technically what you're saying is that let me say back what you said is set up a control. I have built a 2-meter dipole, put a set amount of RF into it, and then have a receiver a set distance and measure that, then put up and do the same with the beam. But you mentioned ERP, effective radiated power. So on the same page as the plans, you know, or the next page, there's a little paragraph there that talks about ERP, effective radiated power. and in that it has the output wattage or the wattage going into the antenna, plus the gain gives me ERP. So technically, I could use ERP. No, I've got a no gain. So I just have to use a reference, I guess. But that's what I want to know, Dave, is I got to have a control, because when you buy an antenna, it says, this is what you kind of dB gain that comes with it in the specs. Well, I don't have that expensive equipment to do that at a, place that builds them. So the next best thing I can do is compare it to my, another dipole, and measure the difference, good or bad, measure the difference. And that's, I'll just have to figure out how I'm going to do that next. But, since you mentioned it, let me let you talk for a second, and I need to go back to this ERP for a second.
Yeah, so if you want a number, a numeric value for your gain, 3 dB is double the output power. So if you double the output power, your gain is 3 dB, right? If you quadruple the output power, you can do the math after that. You can go on, you can calculate it if it's just a number that you need. But I think it's whatever it is, you want the max. And when you're measuring at that other antenna that is separate from the transmitter that is transmitting, you're measuring effective radiated power. You're not measuring how much power you're putting into the antenna. You're measuring the power that is coming out of the antenna, and that is effective radiated power. And that's the one that you really care about. It's like at the repeater site, we've got so much drop in the line going up there, and we've got so much gain in the antenna that's going out that they cancel each other out. So if you put 10 watts in at the bottom, you get 10 watts effective radiated power out at the top, because of the math just works out that way. So and that's what you're really interested in, is effective, and that's what you're measuring when you measure at a distance with another receiver. It's what is my net outcome, and then you can calculate gain from there, and that is your ERP.
That makes sense. Okay. So I kind of came to that a couple of days ago, that just because I've got my radio dialed in to 50 watts, that doesn't mean for a number of reasons that 50 watts are going out. It can be impedance, it can be SWR, but I'm hoping that if I switch to copper, and I'm going with the copper pipe, that's going to help me a little bit. And the reason I say that is I built a fan dipole with some copper wire and took down my communication wire that's made out of stainless steel. And, oh, man, what a difference. What a difference. Just because the wire's a little bigger, and I had to assume that the copper is helping me too. So that's why I went with copper for the 2 meter beam. But I just got a lot of things to figure out and made some notes here. But I'll revisit this ERP and the gain, because I gotta know after it's built, was it worth the time that I put into it? That's what I'm after, I hate to spend that much time on something and then not know. I just can't do it. I have to know, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's that never ending curiosity. I get it 100%. But I think you're on the right path. And I think more than the end results, you're seeking the knowledge of how is it done. How do other people do that? And that's what I seek too. is the same thing. It's fun to do the experiments. And even if they're not successful, well, they're still successful because you learn from it. Anyway, I'll give it back to you. KO4NUE, W4DJW.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. And I'll let you know. I'll let you know once I get it built. Then the real questions start here, you know. But I'm going to get it built first. I'm going to build it by the plans. And it'll either end up at the scrapyard or on the top of, you know, something. So, like Gary always says, it's either going to radiate or it's going to be a place for birds to sit. And, you know, I like birds, so I can take either one, I guess. But appreciate your comments. I appreciate it. Okay. Any more questions from anybody else? That's all I've got.
You, Chad, you made a statement. You changed your dipole, and you made that fan dipole out of copper. What size wire was your first antenna, and what size wire is your second antenna?
It was communication wire, Gary, used for the field telephones. It's called WD1, and its stuff is tough. I mean, it is tough. And I want to say that there's, oh, if I had to choose a gauge, oh, I'd say probably 18 gauge. It's pretty small. Two strands. You know, two Siamese pieces of wire, but it's stranded. And I'd say there's probably 10 strands in it. So it's pretty small. The fan dipole I built is 14 gauge. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 14 gauge, 16, 14 gauge copper. And it's stranded as well. I thought it was solid, but it was not. It was stranded. So yeah, there's your answer.
I ask, if you're using 18 gauge wire, that narrows your bandwidth on a specific frequency. If you increase the size of the wire, that increases the size of your bandwidth in that frequency range. And I'm not knocking your fan dipole because it sounds great. But if you built a one out of say just for giggles, say you built it out of a number 4 aluminum wire, it's going to have a broader bandwidth than the 14 gauge. So that's the only reason I was asking. Sometimes the makeup comes into play, and sometimes the diameter comes into play. And they just, like I said, you know, get out there and play with the stuff, like Dave said. It's a whole lot of fun. the new infed that I put up is 14 gauge, and the loop out there is, I think it's about a 10 gauge, which is actually bigger, and it's copper-coated steel, but I'm losing a lot going through the tuner. It's not resonant. I haven't stood out there and taken my time with a grid depth meter or whatnot and adjusted on that, on my loop, in a long time. Well, since I redid it. It was at one time resonant, but this infed is resonant. That there again, that makes a lot of difference, but just give you something else to think about.
So when, you know, I came to this on Tuesday nights and built that first dipole, from what I learned off of the net, I was just, you know, absolutely excited and tickled to death for months, and still like my antenna. It's cut into pieces now, but one thing I noticed with the communication wire antenna is that while using it, I have two HF rigs in here. When I use the Yaesu, the notch filter on the radio does pretty much nothing. And I have got another radio in here, and when I use the notch filter on it, it's hardly any change at all. And I just remember thinking months ago, well, I don't understand why they put these notch filters on this thing, because it doesn't do anything. It must be just a selling point or something. So I, you know, start reading about it and check out some YouTube videos. And when I watch the videos on, you know, anything to do with, you know, notch filters or shifting the filter, I can see a reaction on the videos, and I'm thinking, well, my radio doesn't do that. I've got some kind of setting wrong or something, and blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you. So, the thin wire antenna down and put the copper bigger antenna up with this fan dipole, you know, all the problems on 3913 when, you know, the South Carolina sidebands being run on 3915, you get all of that splatter. Well, let me tell you, with this copper antenna, the notch filters work wonderful. And I can just about cut a lot of that out. So I have seen a reaction with my radios with that respect. And I have not been able to totally wrap my hands around that, my head around that. I know that, I'm not sure exactly. I know that it has happened. I'm not totally sure exactly why that has happened, but I'm okay with it. It has happened and it works. But that is a measurable distance. That is a measurable reference for me to know, wow, this, you know, these things, it does work. Well, it's got a lot to do with the antenna, I'm assuming, because everything works kind of the way it's supposed to now. So that's what I'm seeing with the bigger wire.
UEKI4DOS. Well, that's what I was talking about, bandwidth. The bandwidth is how much signal on the band in this particular spacing that you're getting. And if you're getting more, then you can do more with it. If you get less, then there's less than you can, that you can do with it. Hope that helped you a little bit. And hope I didn't confuse you. We'll sit down and do this over a cup of coffee one day.
That's a good idea. But before you go, just want to remind you, you know, 7-8 months ago, I couldn't hear anything on these radios. Nothing. Nothing. And now, boy, I'm telling you, I'm tickled to death. So, you know, it's baby steps for me. And it takes me a while to absorb things. I'm sure other people are a whole lot quicker than I am, but I will say that, you know, I am slower, but when I get it, I got it. I'm just glad to be where I am. It has been a fight and a struggle, but I'm okay with that. That just makes me, you know, faster and stronger. There's nothing wrong with a struggle. So, well, Gary, I appreciate your comments and filling me in. I appreciate the help. And I'll take you up on that cup of coffee. Matter of fact, probably next week. So, All right, Gary, I appreciate it. Let me see if anybody's got any comments before I shut down.
Kelsey, I'm just curious. You was talking earlier about the 1 1/4 meter band. You got a, I know I heard Gary say he did, but you got an antenna and a radio that'll do that band?
I do.
See, you're Campobello now. I don't know how active that Spartanburg machine over there is, because sometimes I hear it and can get into it, and other times I don't, but you'll try that, and that's probably the nearest one for you at some point in time, and I don't know, well, you know how it is on 2 meters on getting into 195, well, the 224 is up there also on Glacier Mountain, and that's where that Monday evening at 8 is. I don't know how well you'll get into it, but you ought to try it at some time, and like I said, there's about, I guess, 6 or 7 machines around in the area that's on that band. And there's only 2 6-meter FM repeaters around where there used to be 4. So, there's more repeaters on that band, but there just ain't as many people that's got transceivers for it. That's the big kicker to it, but you ought to try it sometime or another, and try it on this over here if you can do it on 220 like you can 2 meters also into this over here on glass.
The shot. I got the radio and the antenna. I got to get my base for it. And I'm just going to probably set it up there, get to deer camp. But I will test it out here first and see if, you know, I can hit the machine from here. But I'm going to give it a shot, Andy, see if I can do anything with it.
Newer radios that's made for that band will do 50 watts. This one that I got takes back to the novice days. That IC38A does when 25 watts is maximum, and that also a novice was able to. The novice class licensees was allowed to operate on that band, even though I've never heard many, but that's what the rules said. And Gary there keeps telling me he's going to get on that band sometime, at some point in time, but he keeps forgetting, don't you, Gary? Now, go ahead, JI4LZI.
Get here in a minute, Andy. I'm tired of it. In front of this radio all day studying and trying to get through some things with it. Lost all my data when I threw my calendar sheet away, and I know better. But I got it figured out. Got fussed at a little bit, but I got it figured out. But anyway, well, listen, Andy, I'm going to let you go, but I'm starting to show my tired a little bit, and best not talk when you're tired. Might say something you don't want to say. So I'm gonna clear on out on your final, bud. KO4NUE, KI4LZI.
Well, some people, remember a month or so ago, that VHF-UHF contest, people also get on Simplex. They're on the 1 1/4 meter band and operate too during those VHF-UHF contests. So when it comes up that time too, you might take and test Simplex on that band, even though it's still VHF, they're like 2 meters there, so it's still, you know, you do best from high up. But that does come in playing on some of these VHF contests, too. So, KO4NUE, KI4LZI. LZI.
Enjoyed talking to you, Andy. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I'll check you out at the next meeting. And if you need anything when I come, if you need anything, give me a holler. Let me know. I'll bring it when I meet with you.
We'll be waiting to see you then, JI4LCI. You'll surprise some of the others over here on 2244. You can get in over there also, JI4LCI.
Well, got a definite slot. There's a definite window right through here. I mean, it's pretty pronounced when you start looking at it on a map and all. But, I mean, it is a definite lane, and I'm glad about that, but everywhere else is not so good. But I'll take what I can get when I can get it and be happy about it. So, anyway, let me get on out, Andy. I'll say 73s to you, and be safe, bud. I'll see you at the next net or on the next meeting. I'm KL4NUE. I'm clear. This is KO4NU.